Please turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. In this day and time, we are surrounded by problems. Nearly every way we turn, we are faced with perplexities. On every hand, there is trouble. Our hearts are often burdened. And yet today is no different than the past, for fear is ever near us. Depression is waiting in the shadows, ever more desirous to touch the hearts and minds of each of us. My friend, if our response is to look about us and never look above us, then we are sure to become despondent. Fear will surely enter in, and despair will soon follow. And if we are not careful, we will withdraw ourselves upon ourselves and be overtaken by self-pity. Then depression will have emerged from the shadows. But I submit unto you that at this moment, as soldiers of the cross in the midst of our battles, we have no time to become depressed. We need not sound retreat. Therefore, as we look into this psalm, may we take courage. May we look up, fix our eyes upon God, and fight the good fight of faith. This psalmist knew some things that you and I need to know. And may we find the courage that we need. May we grow in grace. Psalm 121 is our text. The title of the message is, Be Encouraged. And it is my heart's desire that you would be encouraged today. Psalm 121. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day, the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, you know the needs and you've heard our prayer requests. And Lord, there are unspoken burdens as well. Just so many things this life brings upon us. And yet, Lord, help us to always keep our eyes upon you and help us to look up. Our redemption draws near. And Lord, may we find great encouragement from your word today. And so if anyone's going through any deep, dark trials today, we ask that you would just reach down and wrap your loving arms around them and give them the encouragement that they need. And Lord, help us to learn these lessons well, that although we may not be going through dark times this very moment, they shall come. And we want to lean upon your word and upon you as our resource. And we do pray for those that are lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ. We ask that you would convict them and draw them to yourself, that they might be saved. And so we commit this time to you today. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we praise you. And we pray that your perfect will be accomplished. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want to think about the matter of being encouraged today, so we want you to be encouraged. Channing Pollock told a story of a friend of his living near Estes National Park in Colorado. And this friend invited Pollock to visit him. And he wrote, quote, We'll take long walks along mountain paths and see God's handiwork in the beauty and grandeur. Now Pollock added, the bravest thing of all was that my friend could neither walk nor see. Takes great courage, doesn't it? May we have the ability to believe God and to take Him at His word and to trust Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And so you may not be able to walk. You may not be able to see, but you can see it and enter into it with the eye of faith. Let's learn from this passage today. There are four things of which I believe this psalmist can impart unto us. And the first thing I believe that the psalmist knew was the source. Verse 1, verse 2, Psalm 121. This is one of my favorite psalms, by the way. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I believe that the psalmist recognized that God was his source. When we have problems, maybe we'll go to a psychiatrist, or perhaps to a close friend, or to a mother, or a father, or a brother, or a sister. Maybe get some good books. But, you know, these things are good. Nothing wrong with them in their own way, but they're not the ultimate. I recognize the Bible tells us that the Bible speaks to us that there is safety in counsel. But, my friend, it is God to whom we must turn. And we need to recognize that when we come into conflict, troubles, trials, tribulations, that which you may be going through in your life today, you need to recognize the source, just like this psalmist did. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to ponder about my situation. I'll think about things and I'll try to brainstorm and try to come up to and make assessments and things like that. In the past, I've made charts, pros and cons, and tried to make, you know, a good decision based on those kind of things. And we might ponder those situations for hours. And we might do everything we can, but I'll tell you, we've got to make sure that we look to God. And so if you're one of those that might do that kind of self-reflection, there's nothing wrong with that. But God has to be your first consideration. You want to turn to a friend, a neighbor, a good book, but God has to be your first consideration. This psalmist says that in the time of trouble, he said, I'm going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now, there are two things I want to make mention that we see about this fellow. And I see it as, well, within and without. There's some statements that I believe deal with something that is within and what he's going to do, but then that his source is outside of himself. And so, first of all, we begin in verse 1, and notice the within. He says, I will. I like that he has a deliberate intention. He has made up his mind. Whatever he's going through in his life, and we don't know what this issue is. This is a song of degrees, and often they sang this song as they went up to Jerusalem, and they would also be crying out about the things that are going on in their life. And so whatever the issue is with this psalmist, it's something that is oppressing him. But I like his view, I will. And I told you many times in the past that I will counsel individuals. I tell them, you have problems, go to the Lord. Cast your care upon Him. You tell Him how you're feeling. You tell Him about your pains and your heartaches, your sorrows, your good things. You tell God all things. There's nothing wrong with that. I encourage you to do that. Make up your mind that you will look to this source. I will, he says. And so that's something from within. I will. What will he do? He says, I will lift up mine eyes. He is going to look unto God. You say, you know, and people, they always have excuses for biblical truth. Well, what if he's blind? What if I can't see? Well, I can't lift up my eyes. Well, that's just a foolish way to approach it. But the fact of the matter is, even if you cannot physically see, you can still look to God, can't you? I mean, praise God. God is not limited by our physical being and our physical limitations. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And I believe that what we see in the psalmist here are these two things that he is determined to do within. He says, I will. What will he do? I will lift up my eyes. He is going to look to his source. And I encourage you today to make that determination. Whatever is going on in your life, from within, say, I can't do much, but what I can do is I can look to God. And that's what I find within. But then there's the issue is that source is without. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. One of the commentators said this, and I quote, to the hills on which Jerusalem was built as the place where God dwelt and where aid was expected. The idea is that the psalmist was looking toward Jerusalem, toward a temple where the house of God was. It's the matter of I'm looking up to God. It's not that he's not going to go out and get down to the mountain peaks and then look up and see the snow-packed peaks. That's not the point. He's looking for a source outside of himself, and he's referencing God, of course, and we'll see that as we go all the way through the psalm. But he notices that this help that he needs isn't found from within. It's not, oh, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps, and I'm going to make this work, and I'm going to grit my teeth, and I'm going to just work hard, and I can do it. He doesn't have that perspective. He says, I will lift up mine eyes. Who's he going to lift up his eyes to? He's going to lift his eyes up to God. Now, you notice he says in verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And, he's going to look to that source that is outside of him. But this statement also tells me that this writer is going through some sort of trouble. He is in need of help. Are you in that position today? Are you in some sort of trouble, some type of affliction, some type of oppression today? Then be like the psalmist. Don't look within, look without. Oh, lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I have trouble and I need some help. And here it comes. I'm going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And notice how personal that it is. He says, my help. Help that God gives to me may not be the help that you need. Now I recognize, and we can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that the comfort wherewith God comforts us, we can use to comfort other people. And sometimes we are able to assist by those things that we learn through the afflictions that we've experienced. But the fact is, God's going to deal with me. And it's going to be the help that I need. And the help that you need is what is required for you. And God will give you what you need. And what you need may not be exactly what I need. But I'll tell you, I'm so glad that we can look to our source. That's what he's saying here. His source is God himself. And his source is the Creator. Notice he says, "My help cometh from the Lord." That's the resource which made heaven and earth. Who is this God? He is the Creator, is he not? Go, if you would, back over to Psalm 124. Psalm 124, just a few pages over, or just the next page. Psalm 124, verse 6. "Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord," who did what? "Who made heaven and earth." That's who it is. God, who is the Creator, the Sustainer, God who made all things. He is our source. If God speaks this world into existence, and God keeps everything working as it intends to work, and all the molecules stay where it needs to stay, and we continue to take breath, and all that God is involved in this universe, He can certainly help us in our problems, can't He? Well, He is our source. So we find that there are some things within that leads Him to that which is without, which is the source. But then there's also a few verses that are written. And let me read to you Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Do you believe that? Go to Psalm 18, if you would. Psalm 18. Is God your refuge? Is God your strength? Is that to whom you will turn? Oh, I point you to Him. Psalm 118, this is Psalm 18, rather. This is a Psalm of David, and in verse 1, and I'm going to read the title, which is actually in the Hebrew, is the first verse. But notice under verse the title under the Psalm 18 designation, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said," so the psalmist David writes, he says, "I will love thee, Lord, O Lord, my strength." Look at verse 6. "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." Skip to verse 17. "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." Go back to our text. Who do you think God, David was looking to? Wasn't he looking to God? Didn't God deliver him? Didn't God rescue him? And so I look into Psalm 121, and the first item of encouragement that we learn from this psalmist is he knew his source. You need to know your source. Verse 3, verse 4 then of the psalm. The second thing I believe we see here is the situation. He knew the situation. And that is the situation that God is aware of. Verse 3, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Sometimes we never take things to God in prayer because we think that they are petty, or perhaps they're trivial, and God is not interested in those things. Worse yet is when we are perplexed and we don't turn to God because, well, somewhere in our minds we believe that God is not aware of our problems, or that it really isn't going to understand. And boy, what a misapplication that is, my friend. God knows. I say unto you that God, in all of His holiness and all of His power, that He is a God of compassion, and that God does know. He does understand. And the psalmist writes, and he says, "He is my source." And you know what about this God? "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He will not slumber. He that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep," the verses tell us. And that tells me that God is constantly aware of our situation. And He will not let our foot to be moved. Now, I don't know about you, but when I sleep, generally I don't have much recognition of what's going on around me. Right? When you're asleep, you're asleep. You don't have any cognition of it. But God never sleeps. He does not slumber. And so this tells me that God knows the situation, doesn't He? There's no such thing in my life where something's going to happen to me and then God's not aware of it. God is absolutely aware of exactly what's going on in your life. Every incident, every detail, everything, God knows. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4, because I'm reminded of this passage here. Hebrews chapter 4. A very precious promise about prayer and how we can respond in times of necessity. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Those are double negatives, which means that we do have a high priest which can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, He knows everything that's going on about you. He understands completely. And so it says in the text that He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Does God know? Yes, He does. So verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Does God know? You say, well, God doesn't know about my society. He never had to deal with the internet, and He didn't have to deal with medical society, and He didn't have all this stuff. My friend, God knows everything about all that's going on in your life. There is not a thing that He is not aware of. Now, He neither slumbers nor sleeps. We do, but He does not. Now, I recognize when God is aware of these things and we can come to Him and find grace to help in a time of need, that there are times in God's sovereign purpose that may not include the removal of affliction. Paul at one time prayed that God would take away that eye problem that he had. He prayed 3 times and God didn't take it away, but He said, "I will give you the grace to endure it." You see? And so I recognize, and I'm not going to give you a false hope to say, well, you just take all your cares to God and you'll never have another problem in your life. That's just not what the Bible teaches us. We still have affliction and trouble and trial, but God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. And He gives us that precious promise in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We may not understand. We can't connect all the dots. We don't have all the answers. But if God in His sovereignty allows those things to be upon us, and He's still certainly aware of it, and He will give us all the grace that we need to endure it. That's the good news, is it not? Now this psalmist makes a declaration, and go back if you would to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The psalmist says, "I know my source," and that source knows the situation. My God does not slumber, He does not sleep. Now, David makes a statement in regard to God's awareness and understanding, Psalm 139 and verse 1 and verse 2. David writes and he says, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." Does God know about you? I mean, God is aware of everything in the universe. And that just really blows my mind. I mean, all the insects, all the birds, all the creation. He knows everything about everything. And He still has time for me. And He knows everything about me. And He knows everything about you. And David says, "You know, You understand my thoughts even afar off." What did he conclude from that? Look down into verse 23, verse 24. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David says, "You know everything about me, O God. So lead me in the direct path. Lead me in the right direction." The fact is, we do have a source to turn to. And that source knows the situation. If you come to me, I might understand some of the problem, but I'm not going to understand all of it. But God knows all things, and God has a complete awareness of your situation. Again, in Psalm 139, look at verse 11. I tell you, my friend, God knows the situation, doesn't He? Psalm 139, 11. "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee." God, You know, You see, I can't hide from You. We can hide one from another, but we can't hide from God. God knows your situation. He knows everything about it, doesn't He? So listen, if you will, to a few of these other verses. Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Psalm 34:15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that you have a God who's in heaven who absolutely knows what's going on? You say, well, then why are you telling me to go to him and tell my heart and to pour out my soul to him? Well, God already knows. He just wants you to tell him. He just wants to hear it. He wants you to recognize where you're at. And so, my friend, God is your source. And God knows all the situation and that you're experiencing. And that song that we sang, I like it. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Back in our text, Psalm 121, then, we find that God is the source and he knows the situation. But the third thing that the psalmist brings out, in my opinion, in verse 5 and verse 6, is God is his strength. Verse 5, "The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." Commentator says, "He is thy preserver. He is thy defender. He will keep them from danger. He will keep you from sin. He will keep you unto salvation." The Lord is your keeper. Now, Webster defines the word keeper as a person or thing that keeps. It makes sense, doesn't it? So it's a custodian, a caretaker, a guardian, a protector. The Lord is thy keeper. Yes, he is. Now, if God is my keeper, then that tells me that he is able to keep. Now, I believe that to be the case. Now, I recognize in our society there might be some keepers that don't keep and don't have the ability to keep. Kind of like that commercial on TV when they come in and rob the bank and the security guard standing there and they said, "Oh, won't you do something? You're a security guard." "No, I'm just a security alert person. You know, I just recognize there's a problem, but I don't do anything about it." And of course, then they're trying to sell you LifeLock and all that kind of thing. Free advertisement for LifeLock. The point is God can do something about it. You know why? Because he's the creator of heaven and earth. He is our strength. God possesses all power. And any strength that I have must come from him. Listen to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." What a precious promise. God is our refuge, isn't he? Now we read in the text there that he is our keeper. He is the shade upon our right hand. He is the shadow. He is that which covers us and protects us. We sang earlier about under his wings in the Sunday school, and like a mother hen covering the chicks. We are under his shadow, under his protection. And verse 6 tells us, whether daylight or in darkness, God is there watching over us. He is never, ever sleeping. He is our strength at all times. And so, "The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, and the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." Go back to the 91st Psalm, if you would. Psalm 91. I submit unto you that we need to recognize, like this psalmist, that God is our strength. He's our real power. Psalm 91, verse 1 down through verse 6. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." Whether light or dark, any time of the day, we don't need to be afraid. Why? Because God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our keeper. And that's what the psalmist says. Go back to our passage. And he says, "I know who my source is, and that source knows all my situation, and that source is all of my strength." There's another song that says, "I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved." Like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And that's the way we are with God, aren't we? We're planted by the waters, and we shall not be moved. Why? Because God is our keeper. Now let's look at the last thing that this psalmist teaches us. Psalm 121, verse 7 and verse 8. He knows the Savior. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now I recognize that this is true physically, that God is watching over them. God will help them. We made references to some of the Psalms of David where he talked about being delivered from the king and from his enemies. And we're aware of the physical things of which we want deliverance. But I'll tell you more than ultimately beyond that is the spiritual. God is my Savior. He preserves me from all evil. And He preserves my soul. I'm reminded of the passage that Paul states over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 12, where Paul writes and he says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I mean, for Paul, God was the Savior, wasn't He? Is He your Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ? Is He your keeper? Is He the one that delivers you? He shall preserve thy soul. Let me offer you a few other verses. Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Psalm 97, 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Psalm 145 and verse 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked He shall destroy. A connected reference, Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. Would that be your heartbeat today? Would that be your desire? Oh God, You know my problems. You know my afflictions. You are my source. You know everything about that. You are my strength and You are my Savior. And I'm going to put my trust in You. Will you cry like the psalmist? Preserve me, O God. Turn to one other place and then keep your finger in Psalm 121. But go to Romans chapter 8. Because when I think about God being my keeper and my preserver, God is the one that watches over, and again, with the spiritual emphasis there, I was made to think of Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through verse 35, and I thought it necessary to share these with you. Romans 8, 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not up His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? My friend, He is our preserver. He is our deliverer. The end of that passage talks about how nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. You see, I submit unto you when we see this psalm and we get the points of the psalmist speaking from his heart that God is, and just think of it this way, I'm going to take it from a negative to the positive. God is not the one who knows the situation and possesses all the strength and is unlimited in source of power and of help and then sits back and says, do it yourself. That doesn't make sense, does it? Is God just saying, well, okay, you do this. I have all power. I know all things. And I can do it, but you do it. No, my friend, He is a God of action. We find in those last verses that God is the Savior. He is our deliverer, if you please. And He is there. He is ready to help. And I believe that He will help. Didn't we read those verses talking about how God watches over the righteous? Do you know my friend is Lord and Savior? Can you lift up your eyes to Him? Listen, if you will, to John chapter 10. And in verse 25 to verse 30, Jesus answered those critics and He says, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, and they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. But this is what He says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We read in the text, Psalm 121, that the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. God will keep His sheep, won't He? So in closing, I submit unto you, let's look at the Psalm. Psalm 121, find encouragement from it. He writes and he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Won't you be encouraged today from the Word? I pray that you would be. With such a God as we have, there is no time for depression to set in. God is certainly our source. He knows our situation. And He is our strength. And He delivers us from trouble. And praise God, He is the Savior. Our Savior. If He's not your Savior today, then He could be. Would you recognize yourself a sinner, lost, doomed, and damned to a devil's hell? Recognizing that Jesus came 2,000 years ago, was crucified, buried, risen again. And Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. My friend, today you can be saved. You can be forgiven of your sin. If you by faith will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And then you too will know this great resource. He alone is the Savior who knows your situation, but He alone can keep you. He's your strength. Would you turn to God as your Lord and Savior today if you're lost? And you that are saved, we know Him. He's given us eternal life. Let us lean upon Him. Be encouraged from the Word today. Learn from the psalmist that whatever is going on in your life, you can take it to the Lord and leave it there. I encourage you to do that. May you find this encouragement. Let's stand. Father, we commit this time to You today. Love You. We honor You and we praise You. And Lord, just meet every need of every heart, especially for those that are lost, that they might be saved. And we were saved that, Lord, we know that You are our only resource. And without You, we can do nothing. And every good gift comes from You. And Lord, help us to turn to You and cast our care upon You. And let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us find encouragement from Your Word today. And just meet these needs, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms number 379. 379.